time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, and we're coughing already on the air.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to Wednesday, May 25th.
Good morning. My sinuses are crazy.
It's okay.
This weather is like, it's beautiful now, but it's cold and hot and cold.
I know, it makes you crazy, you know. Do you have allergies or anything?
I do, and that's what's like I'm fighting. And
I see.
So I'm trying not to get a sinus infection. That sounds so hot in the morning, I know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's true, though. It's just with this weather, it just messes me up. So
yeah.
I'm going to be clearing my throat a lot. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Well, it's the only morning show that actually lets you listen to us clear our throats.
And we're all human.
And give
we
you
all
sound
do
of phlegm.
It's so hot, I know. You all are turned on right now, especially you, Sam. I know it. It's okay. And no wonder why I'm single. Fantastic.
You think that has something to do with it?
Maybe a little bit. Just saying.
God.
Maybe. Okay, so we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we actually, in a few minutes, we're going to have an astrologist on the phone, and she's going to talk. She has a book called How to Pick a Lover, and
I need some
obviously
advice.
Based on the stars. So we'll see what... Oh, you need that?
I'm single, so yes, I need that. How to Pick a Lover. Obviously, I'm not doing a very good job right now.
Are you like... Does it pressure you that you're single?
You know what? No. I wasn't ready for a really long time after my divorce and then my bad relationship. And I just... I was really needing to focus on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that time.
Right.
And I think if I was with somebody, it would have been... I would have been very selfish.
Right.
It would have been all about me, and I wouldn't have been giving and loving. And I think that that's important. You got to give and take.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm glad that I've had this time, you know.
Right.
My parents, on the other hand, think I'm crazy and they think the clock is ticking. But I think it's important to find yourself, especially women. And I say this, not that men don't do this, but excuse me, women have a tendency to do this more. When we get into relationships, we kind of lose who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because women are very compassionate, and we support men and what they do, and,
right.
and what they enjoy, we enjoy. You know, we try to relate that way. And I feel like a lot of times women tend to lose themselves in that.
I see.
Which there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But
right.
there's a lot of times, though, down the line, you'll have like a nervous breakdown and you'll feel like, who am I now?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel that I, in a relationship now, I can come to the table and say, look, this is the things that I enjoy in my life.
Right.
And I'm going to appreciate the things that he enjoys. And we can enjoy separate things and things that we can enjoy together. And I think that that's very important and very healthy.
Right.
And very balanced, you know.
So did you figure yourself out pretty much?
Well, it's a never-ending thing, Sam. I'm complicated, as all women are.
Yeah.
But no, I think I have a better sense of who I am than I was years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
I realize my worth just as a human being.
Right.
As we all have the same worth, but... you really have to own it and find it. And it's not being selfish or egotistical. It's just loving yourself for what you are.
Yeah, you have to.
And not treating people any less than you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all equal here. And I feel like just knowing, actually, I was just, good segue here. I'm getting better with these segues. There was a thing on, where is it now? Oh, darn it, I didn't have it queued up. Oprah's last show.
Right. Yesterday?
No, today.
Oh, today
this,
it is.
This morning, yeah. Oh. Which is huge. I don't know about you. Are you a fan of her?
No,
all?
Not a fan.
Not.
But
not
I've
a fan.
Watched it a few times.
So she, I think she's incredible. I mean,
right.
Obviously she's brought so much into people's lives and helped change.
Yeah, what
the world
she's achieved is amazing. You know, for women, for black people, and you know, I think she is really. I mean, she's become one of the most powerful women in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and just based on a talk show. But she's obviously stretched herself beyond that and, you know, mm-hmm. got active and...
Right. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that might not like her. They can think she's egotistical. I know my father doesn't like her for whatever reason. But, I mean, that's all well and fine. But if you look at her, she's got tons of money. Mm-hmm. She's got so much power.
Right.
But I don't think that she's egotistical, but I think she's just enjoying her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's never harmed anybody.
Right.
You know, so mm-hmm. she's only bringing good into this world so people can look at her and say, you know, she's an idiot, whatever. I mean, whatever the case may be. But she wrote this. I just read this. Her last show was about writing a love letter to the audience, to everybody, you know, saying thank you for your 25 years of support. And I like what she wrote when I'm talking about being worthy and stuff. She wrote, we can all block our own blessings because we don't feel inherently good enough or smart enough or pretty enough. The show has taught me that you're worthy because you were born and you are here. Your being here and being alive makes you worthy. You alone are enough. Mm. I think that's
absolutely. Does it sound like bullshit to you?
You know what? No, not to me. To you, maybe. But I believe that, though. For me, I believe that. And I don't know. Everybody can think she's up on her high horse about it. But you know what? She brought good into this world. She didn't bring any harm. So
you're right. You're right. She hasn't really hurt anybody,
she
at least
hasn't.
Not that we know
mm-hmm.
of. And, yeah, she's leaving a legacy behind her.
Hey.
You know, and she's leaving on top.
I'm going to watch it this afternoon. I'm going to be bawling. I know I will.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
be crying.
Do you watch her regularly?
Not really. I mean, every so often I'll catch her, and especially on if I see something, a topic that I want to watch it on or whatever, or a guest. But I don't watch her regularly. I just think she's, I don't know. I applaud her. I think she's awesome.
Yeah. What do you think of Dr. Phil? Do you like Dr. Phil?
Let me just say, I don't hate anybody. But let me just say this about Dr. Phil. I like the fact that he's really aggressive, balls out about things, very uh-huh. blunt, because I am, but I don't think you have to be mean. I don't
is he mean?
He's really,
to me it just bothers me that, like, because he looks like a child molester or something.
Okay.
To me, you know.
I love that. That's why you hate him.
Yeah.
Because he looks like a child molester.
He is, and he irritates me.
I don't know if Oprah would give him a job if he was a child molester.
Probably not, but, you know, maybe she didn't know.
Okay, so you hate him because he's a child molester, or he looks like one.
He
not
looks
that
like
he is.
One.
I just think he's really, he can be really mean. That's why I don't really care for him.
Mm.
It's just so.
Well, maybe it's like tough love, you know? I mean, sometimes you have to.
Yeah, but then you're
like
instilling fear into people. Nice job, Sam.
Yeah. Bumping into everything here.
I just feel like instilling fear into people to get them to do what you want them to do, mm-hmm. I think is crap. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying he exactly, just him. You know, people come to him with problems and say, look, I need help.
Right.
They obviously want help. I just don't think that, like, instilling fear into people, because then they live in this world of, like, they're fearful to do this and they're fearful to do this. So in their mind, they're like, oh my God, Dr. Phil told me that I can't eat this burger because I'm going to get fat. And now I'm scared of burgers. And, you know, like, for me, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If somebody tries to instill fear in me, then, you know what? It creates a lot of anger in me. That's my opinion. But,
yeah.
you know,
I don't
know.
So you go for the carrot rather than for the stick.
No, I go for the steak, baby.
Oh, you go for the steak.
Come on now.
Yeah. Come on,
I love
beat me.
Meat. I love meat. I was a vegan, though, for 4 years.
Really?
God, yeah, because my husband was vegetarian. And again, women taking on, you know,
mm-hmm.
men. But he wouldn't let me cook any kind of meat in my house.
Oh,
all,
really?
Even after we were
yeah,
married.
That's right. You were vegetarians
yeah.
for a while.
But he wasn't, like, I wasn't allowed to bring meat into my house, which is completely crazy. Like, uh-huh. that was my marriage.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was, so I was, and he was a great cook, you know, he had made amazing vegetarian dishes, but after 4 years, I was really sick. Like, I found myself not being, if I got like even a sinus infection, I couldn't fight it off right away. My immune system was down. Huh. So I finally woke up one day and I started craving meat.
Right.
So I went to the store and I bought some tuna fish. Let's just say it was World War IV in my house. Like it was, it
for
was
tuna?
So,
I mean, tuna is not even meat.
It was so bad. And I couldn't eat the meat in my house. I had to sit down on my porch and eat it. Which is so, I was like sitting like in a corner on my porch, like in timeout, eating out of a bowl or out of the can because I couldn't eat out yeah. of the bowl. And it was just, it was pathetic.
Yeah, I think things like this would create a problem in the marriage, you know?
Yeah, there was a lot of other things. But yeah, that was a big thing. And I, you know what? I take a lot of credit for letting it be what it was.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I took part in that. I said, okay, you can push me in a corner outside and make me eat this. Like,
yeah.
you know, it was just bull crap, but whatever it is, it's over and done with. Anyway, so yeah, so now I love meat and back to eating tons of meat.
Sounds good. I love meat too, and I've always eaten meat, and I always will.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's what I liked. I feel like we need to eat meat.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's here. It's great. I love it.
Although they say beef like doesn't digest for a long time. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know. I don't
yeah.
care. I eat it all
Who
the
cares?
Time.
We'll
cares?
Walk around with it.
Who cares? I love it. Not that I'm promoting killing things, but I do enjoy meat.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, if you have to kill them, you
I
have
don't
to
eat
kill
dog,
them.
Though.
Good.
I don't know if I could. I don't eat, but then again, like, there's certain meats I eat and there's certain meats I don't eat,
yeah.
depending on texture and taste. And
oh, really? So what
oh, yeah.
meat don't you like?
Oh, I don't like veal. I won't eat any, like bison. I don't eat any of that nasty
yeah.
stuff. I eat some fish. I don't eat all fish.
Uh-huh.
Some sushi, obviously not all sushi. But I eat chicken, turkey, and beef mostly. That's
right.
like my, and then tuna fish.
Right.
And if I go to sushi, I get like spicy tuna or halibut or something, but nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I can't do, and very rarely, I've tried duck. Not bad.
Yeah, is it good?
It's okay.
Never
you know.
Tried it.
Yeah. Liver, no.
No, you don't like liver? Chicken
but,
liver?
No.
Chicken liver is such a delicacy. I
is
mean,
it?
If you know how to cook it, it's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had chicken liver.
I think everywhere else in the world people love it except here, you know.
Really?
For some reason people are grossed out by it here.
But you know what I did like as a kid?
What?
Liver sausage. Have you ever had it?
No.
Oh my god, my dad made me eat this when I was a kid, and him and I used to eat liver sausage sandwiches
uh-huh.
all the time.
Really?
It was so good.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what was in it exactly, but it was amazing. And then I like as I got older, I stopped eating it, but it was amazing when I was a kid. That was the only kind of liver I would ever eat.
Oh yeah, wow.
I wouldn't eat like a piece of, you know,
yeah.
like liver meat.
Just a
does
piece.
That make any sense? What I'm saying? I don't know. Anyway,
but
it
you're
was...
talking about beef liver, right?
Yeah, is that?
Yeah.
Is
chicken
that...
liver is totally different.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're like round like this, you know, like
and
about
small?
A golf ball size. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had that. I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
one day you
with
can cook
onions,
me.
You know, and you marinate, and it's amazing. I mean, you've
you
got to eat it. Me, no.
Oh, okay.
But I know how to watch someone cook.
There we go. So do I. High five to that, Sam.
You're not into cooking?
No. God, no. Absolutely not. I hate it. I have no patience for it. I don't know what goes together. I honestly cannot wait for the day where I can pay somebody to cook for me every day.
Yeah. Sounds
I mean,
good
if
me.
I don't... If I can marry a guy who doesn't, you know, want to cook or know how to cook, I just need to hire somebody.
Yeah. Well, you also want someone who doesn't expect you to cook.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam. Let's tell that to my astrologist when she calls
yeah,
in
Yeah, maybe
today.
You have to find the right sign for that.
I know. Who doesn't like to cook? Scorpios? Scorpios? I don't know. Okay, so American Idol tonight, baby.
Yes. Did you watch
the
it last
final?
Night?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
It's
they,
country everywhere.
It is country everywhere.
I feel like... okay, wait. Prediction. Who do you think's going to win?
You know, it's hard for me to say. I want Lauren to win.
Okay.
But I think Scotty's going to win.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that Scotty's going to win, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, it doesn't matter at this point who wins because they're both going to get record contracts. You know that.
They are.
Yeah.
And...
They're going straight to Nashville.
They're going straight to Nashville, baby.
Yeah.
They are going to get record contracts. I just feel like Scotty has a bigger following. Though, last night, Lauren's song was better than Scotty's.
Yeah. They gave her some good words.
And because it was all about the mother, and everybody's like, oh, my God, she's so sweet. she's talking about her mom. Like, it was, you know, of course, so people are going to jump on that bandwagon. But I still think that all the young girls are voting for Scotty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because he's such a guy. Oh, we have a phone call.
Our guest is calling in. I think I know where she's calling from. Good morning. This is Sam and Stephanie. You're on the air. Go ahead.
That's wonderful. Hi. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, friend.
I think the two of you sound great.
Oh, thank you very much.
You've been listening?
Constantly. I listen every day.
Wow.
Yes, yes. I mean, you guys have captivated me, but what it is the blend of your two voices and your attitudes. They're not conflicting. They're not even in contention. They blend as your voices blend. But there's a reason for there's a reason for that. May I tell your listening audience what your sun signs are?
Yeah, well, we'll get to it in a minute. Where are you calling us from, friend?
Chicago.
Oh,
Chicago.
Where I'm from? Where?
Yes. I listen to you all the time. Go on about, and I'll say yes. That's right. Yes.
Wait, Fran, where in Chicago?
On the north side, Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, okay. I'm from Schaumburg.
Of course.
My family.
I knew that. I knew when you would make references that no, you're not in the city. That girl is in the suburbs.
I know, but see, I can say to you, I'm from Schaumburg, and you'll know. But if people out here, I say I'm from Schaumburg, they're like, where the hell is that?
Yeah.
All I say is
exactly.
Chicago.
Yeah. Is it a suburb of Chicago?
Yeah. It's literally like 45 minutes west of the city.
Right.
But I can never say, unless to Chicago people, I can say Schaumburg, but nobody knows where Schaumburg is.
And Schaumburg is a very high end suburb.
Ew, well.
Ooh, excuse me.
Yeah, we are rich. Fancy. I didn't know we were so rich. But okay.
Well, oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the references that you make are pure Schaumburg.
Oh.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. But as Stephanie said, it would take another Chicagoan to know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woodfield Mall, baby. Woodfield Mall.
Yeah.
Well, we have that as well. I think in every small city, you know, when you come from a suburb, you know, the local people know where you are, but when you're out of town, you just say Los Angeles.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just easier. Fran, what's the weather like there? Because I'm coming there this weekend.
Well, okay, it was storming earlier.
Okay.
Storming earlier, you know, we're 2 hours ahead of you.
Okay.
And at about 10 o'clock Central Time, it was dark.
Mm.
It was dark. It looked like night. It looked like 8 o'clock at night.
Oh.
Now it's clearing, and it has stopped raining, and it's clearing.
Okay.
And probably this afternoon the sun will come out.
Yeah, probably,
Yes, but you guys, I mean, I've been following. First of all, I've done both your charts.
And we're looking forward to hearing that.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yes, I've done both your charts, and I want to say the whole concept of Stephanie not cooking, and you were right finding somebody, Sam, you were right finding someone where she didn't, they go out every night for dinner. Not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with that. Thank you for
it. See, in my book, How to Pick a Lover, which is an astrological guide to love and close relationships, Stephanie, I look at what is the fifth house. I don't look at that in the book. It's written into it. But for Stephanie actually rules Scorpio's fifth house of love and close relationships. Does that give you any idea about Stephanie?
That I'm a sexual person.
What was that?
That I'm a sexual person. That's all I know.
Yes. Oh, please. Please. I mean,
I don't need the stars to tell me that.
Loved and adored by the individual Scorpio who has dominion over the sexual organs.
So wait, I'm being loved and adored by Scorpios? Is that what you just said?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I've never been with a Scorpio, so you're telling me to just go for it?
Well, again, this is where we have a bit of a stumbling block with Stephanie.
Okay.
Stephanie is magnetic. She attracts people. That's how she's even on there. That's how she's human. She's got excellent chart, excellent timing. She came in onto the station, which is a big deal, on the wave of a new moon in her first house in March. Was that not when Stephanie started?
Beginning of April.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I mean, when she was coming back for those actual, you know, being on air.
Right, right.
Okay. All right. So the fact of the matter is you are magnetic. You attract. And so in the course of a day and an evening and a night, because don't tell me 1 o'clock is like the latest you've ever been up. You make it seem that way, please. She's a wonderful listener.
Yeah.
And she's a wonderful listener, and then she asks appropriate questions.
Yeah.
My exes seem to differ with that, but yeah. Okay. You
well,
tell him, Fran.
He doesn't know you
tell
that
him.
Well.
Well, I'm talking in a relationship. I'm not necessarily. I'm not only speaking of Sam and Stephanie in the morning.
Right.
Right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just.
But let me digress for a moment over to Sam. Sam, he's such a guy. You know, you were right the other day when you about Keira Knightley. But Sam is a guy.
Yeah.
Yes, and he is.
I'm a guy.
You are such a guy. I mean, I know you're Chuck. You're such a guy. Great businessman.
Thank you. Wow.
Yes, you are. You keep it very quiet.
I didn't think I was.
No. You really are. You're a great business guy.
Thank you.
The only problem in your life is that you love too much. You love too much. You love too deeply.
Mm.
And this is really been a thing throughout your young life and adult life. I mean, you can, Virgo rules, Taurus, and you are Taurus, your fifth house of love affairs.
Right. Both my parents are Virgo. They definitely ruled over me.
Wait a minute. Who's a Virgo?
Both my parents. So.
Were they? Oh, God, they had to adore you, though. Your parents adored you.
Oh, yeah. They did.
Oh, yeah. They really did. Yeah. They really did. And they gave you a sense, well, you have it in your chart anyway, your sense of order and precision.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But the fact of the matter is, the people you love, the people you're interested in, you're very lovely. You're ruled by Venus, but you're really one person at a time. Although, you will carry the memory, even the thought of a love or hoped for love, for years.
Right. So you're saying I need to be in relationships. That's what my chart says.
Okay. Before you're in relationships, given your whole chart, what has to be on track and moving forward is your career, your business concerns. You know, they have to be moving forward. When that is, and that's coming up, and I do want to address that before we're off the air, because it's Jupiter Lady Luck going into Taurus on June the 4th for 12 months.
12 months? Wow.
For 12, right, it is. For 12 months, June the 4th, please, guys, mark this down. And what it means is for you to expand your operations nationally and, if possible, internationally.
Wow.
Yeah. I do need to invest a lot more in the company.
What was it?
I said I need to invest even more effort in the company. You know, it's as though I don't work hard enough, but you're absolutely right. You know, I'm at that point right now.
That's right. You are. And as far as Stephanie's concerned, the same Jupiter that I'm talking about is going to go into Stephanie's third house. And that is, now, your first house, of course, is from 9 to 8 o'clock. Your third house is from 7, one's third house, and we all have a third house, is from going counterclockwise, 7 to 6. And Stephanie, that's your third house of all forms of communication, including manuscripts. Now, what Stephanie must do over this next 12 months is write that film script. I mean, that's serious. You know, 120-page, 120-page.
Why is everybody telling me to write? Maybe I need to go back to school first and learn how to write.
Well, no, you can. No. Given your, you can collaborate.
Okay.
You know, you don't.
I can collaborate. I've written poems.
Yeah.
I've written poems,
right, but
that's about it. No, I love this. Fran, I love this.
You have got three planets, and you were born with three. You don't mind my telling you, because I'm not going to,
Everything's out in the open, Fran. Yeah.
Only good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys would not be on air if it wasn't good stuff in your charts.
Oh, well, okay.
I mean,
so we're here. So there must be something good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what you want is that contract. You want an agent, a literary film script agent.
Okay.
And you want that agent to really go to work for you. But you have to have, you've got to have pages. You've got to have concept. You've got, you know, the whole thing.
Okay.
And really be serious about it because you can do it.
So I think, I love this, motivational speaker. She's like my life coach.
No.
I love it. So wait, hold on. So you're telling me I should do all forms of communication here. So I should be on TV like I'm doing as an actress. I should be on the radio talking.
Definitely.
I should be writing a book. I'm like Oprah, but white.
Yeah.
I'm like
No, you're like Stephanie. Oprah's a different... No,
I know,
no,
Oprah, I'm kidding, Oprah. Fran.
Oprah is a whole different piece. Oprah's a whole different piece of pie. Oprah's a whole different pie.
No, I know, because, I know.
Yeah, because I love to do celebrity gossip astrologically. And I looked at Oprah's chart at one point, because, you know, I write for Shore Magazine, and I have a monthly column magazine and twice monthly blog for the magazine. Well, Oprah, who has a exquisite trine, meaning planets that relate beautifully to one another between her first house and her fifth house of creativity, love and creativity, she has up there in her 10th house some really hard planets, so that anyone who tells her anything, she's already been there.
Wow.
You know, when she seems so understanding and she's nodding, that is for real.
Wow.
That is for
real. I believe that. I do believe that.
So she's an old soul.
Yeah. Wait, so, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, please. You're here to talk.
I was saying she has got two toughy planets up there in her 10th house of career. She's an Aquarius, and Scorpio rules her 10th house of career.
Okay, can you explain this to people that don't really study? I know Sam has some questions about your book, but I really want to understand this. So for people that don't read astrology, what exactly is like the fifth house and the 10th house, and what does that mean? Can you explain that to us dumb people that don't understand?
you're so good. You are really. All right, look at a clock, numerical clock or wristwatch.
Okay,
I'm looking. That is the zodiac wheel, and that's also one's own birth chart, and that originated with the sundial.
Okay.
So going counterclockwise from 12 to 11, that is your 10th house of career. And if you keep going counterclockwise, you get to your first house from 9 to 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. 9 to 8 o'clock is the first house. 8 to 7 is your second house of income.
Okay.
All right. And as you keep going around, we have your first... Shall I give a tutorial on astrology? Not a problem.
Well, no, I just want to know some. I know there's a lot of stuff, but just if you could have, like, that makes a little bit more sense to me. But I'm just saying for us listeners out here, like, I've gotten my chart done a couple times, and
You will have everything done. Oh, please. You were born, and I don't mind telling this out because it's really a good aspect. You were born with Uranus, the planet of the unusual, the unexpected. In your ninth house, and that's going counterclockwise, from 1 to 12, that's your ninth house of people, projects, plans, near and at a distance, also higher education.
Oh.
You were born with Uranus, the unusual, the unexpected there. It trines your Mercury in your first house in Pisces, where the sun is at, from 9 to 8 o'clock. You have the most bizarre ideas. But also the most brilliant idea.
Yes. See, Dad, I'm not that weird.
Stephanie's jumping off her chair here.
I was actually jumping up and down because my parents will think that I'm weird, which is true. But I do have some brilliant ideas.
Absolutely. And not only that, but it works beautifully for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have now, Sam.
Fran, you wrote the book How to Pick a Lover, and you have pretty much every combination of male and female and astrology signs. Now, this seems to me like you've written this a long time ago, huh? This has been around for a while.
Well, no, what happened was the book came out. It was when I say it came out in Chicago.
Oh.
It came out in Chicago, and there was a divorce in the publishing family almost immediately after it came out. So I was able to get the rights and the remaining stock back.
Nice.
I have the rights to the book and the remaining stock.
Yeah.
And I warehoused the book.
Oh,
now, at that time, at that time, at the time this happened, which was in the 70s, at the time this happened, there was no internet. There was right. no Google. There was no form of distribution other than the basic essential very heavy-handed forms of distribution that right. only large companies could handle. I warehoused the book.
Yeah, well, it shows that it's timeless, you know, and I think it's, you know, I found it very entertaining, and I think people will, too. And,
thank you.
Yeah,
they can find me on my website. May I give my website?
Of course, go ahead. Yes.
All right, it's StarCast12.
StarCast12, right.
12, and that's numerical12.com.
Right.
And that's my website.
And the book is available there as well.
Exactly, definitely. My website loves charge cards.
Wow, now, that's a special website.
yes. And of course, if my P.O. box for listeners is Fran Smith. Now give that.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Fran Smith, P.O. Box 11780. P.O. Box 11780, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Send a check or money order for $24.95. And, of course, it's tax and shipping are included in that.
Okay.
And I will absolutely send you a book right back.
Sounds good.
Wait, before she goes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just want to know, can you tell me who is my best match for
all places? Right, well, ideally, a Cancer.
Cancer?
You need Cancer.
Yeah, Cancer rules your fifth house.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what people that are born in June or something, right?
July?
Well, you're right. Listen to the man who professes not to know. That's the last week in June, the first 3 weeks in July.
Right. Okay. Well, sounds good. Okay, so Stephanie, you know now you have your work cut out for you. You're after a Cancer. And
if it doesn't work out, I'm calling you up and I'm yelling at you.
There you go. Yeah. But in the meantime, she's going to read the book.
I'm kidding. I'm going to read the book now because I need some help, Fran.
Well, I know, but we also know that you are still going to carve your own path.
Mm-hmm.
You really are.
Thank you.
You are. Just as Sam does.
Just as Sam does.
Yeah.
Sam, do you have any questions for me before I go?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I don't. Well, what's the compatible sign for male Taurus? Fran?
All right. I'm listening, honey. I'm listening intently. I'm telling you, who would love you would be a Capricorn female.
A Capricorn female. Okay.
Is your wife?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'll be looking for.
What is your
wife
sign?
Sagittarius.
Well, she's brilliant. See, the girl is absolutely, but she may have been born with planets, like a Venus in Capricorn.
Well, that's good, because I'm ruled by Venus, so maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
It's a very good thing.
I know I'm full of love and wanting to give and all that, so.
Yeah, you want to, but you're really, underneath it all, a very tough guy.
Well, thank you very much.
He's a softie.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm a softie.
He's a softie.
No, guys. He's not. He's a tough guy. A very good businessman. And I love you. I love LA Talk Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Fran. I mean, we love having you as a listener. And thank you for contacting me. This is fascinating. And we always like astrology and that sort of thing. So the book is How to Pick a Lover, Fran Smith. Everybody go to StarCast12.com and find out more information. Fran,
thank you so much
for your time and enlightenment. It was very interesting.
Call anytime,
wonderful,
Fran.
Wonderful talking to the two of you.
You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You the same. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fran Smith.
My dad said he's calling in. God, I don't know what he's going to say.
Well,
I'm not yawning.
Yeah.
I'm stretching. She's adorable.
Yeah.
I want to read this book. It's so 70s.
Yeah, it is.
I love it.
It is.
I want to read what my best... Well, she said Cancer, which she's the second person that said that. You know,
really?
Jamie said that.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, Jamie said that Cancer is my best match.
Oh, okay. Then that's what you need to start looking for.
Why didn't somebody tell me this years ago? I wouldn't have wasted 4 years, 6 years of my life with my husband. Jesus.
Yeah, I wonder if they have, like, dating sites based on astrology, you know?
That's fantastic. I think they do. Maybe we should start it, Sam.
Yeah.
Because we're not astrologers at all. No, we're not. I would love to start. We should tell Jamie to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Do what?
Oh, my God. Really? Not even listening.
Oh,
Jamie,
do the matching?
To do the website, the dating.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm sure they do, don't they?
Oh, like have her create it, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, since
okay.
neither of us are astrologists, I mean, we could pretend. We can just, you know, say it to people and they'll believe us. But
I'll bet you there is already a dating site
I'm
like
sure
that.
I'm sure there is. I wonder if there is. We'll see. Who knows? Dad, you can call in if you want to. This looks interesting, though. I really do want to read this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But your wife is a what did you say?
Sagittarius.
A Sag. Yeah. You guys work, obviously.
Yeah.
Is there something you want
like
to tell
us? Like all couples, you know, sometimes it does, sometimes
well,
it doesn't.
Well, of course, but for the most part, you
yeah,
know. What
yeah.
was your first what was your first wife? What was she?
An Aries.
She was an Aries.
Not very good.
My
yeah.
husband was an Aries.
Was he?
Yeah. But I don't know Aries and Taurus. I mean, Aries and Pisces were. Okay, for a while.
Were they? Yeah. Aries and Taurus don't get along. I've had a couple of Aries in my life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Geminis, no. No. They are bipolar. Sorry to all you Geminis out there. And I don't think everybody is, but I'm convinced that my ex-boyfriend was bipolar. So I can't date another Gemini. No way. That and Capricorns were not good for me.
No, huh?
No, remember I said it was too, their Capricorns were too rooted in reality, and Pisces are a little bit more of in the fantasy world.
I see, like out there.
Yeah, we're a little crazy. Can't you tell?
Oh, good.
But yeah, so it didn't really work well with when I was with Capricorns. But when I was dating my boyfriend, he was like 7th grade, 8th grade, on and off through high school. He was a Leo, and it worked.
It worked.
It worked. He worshipped me.
Oh, wow. Well, no, that's what you
mean. He was. I say that jokingly, but he was so good to me. Mm. He was the best guy to this day, that the best boyfriend I've ever had.
Wow.
He was just the most loving and caring and wonderful, and he listened to me. He was awesome. To this day, he was the best.
Why didn't you hunt him down? And
we're still in touch. Trust me. Yeah. We still talk. We're still in touch.
Wow.
You know, we're not making a love connection. Stop. No, he's amazing, and I love him dearly, and he's still in my life, and he's single, and I feel like our lives are very different, though.
Right, yeah.
You know?
You diverge, you know? It's not like in high school, you know?
I know.
I mean, you were compatible back then and all that stuff, but then, yeah, everybody goes their own way, and you don't know if it'll still work out that way.
I mean, we
know?
Have such a great time. Like, I talk to him, you know, probably, like, every couple weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we still connect like that, but it's just, our lives are just completely different.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I can't really see it now,
right.
You know, but
it's
knows?
A good memory. What the hell?
It's great. Yeah. I love saying that. I love
thinking
about it.
And it's cool
that
you guys are still friends, you know?
Oh, God,
after all these years.
After all these years. I think if he was married, we wouldn't be friends. I think his wife would be like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't talk to your ex-girlfriend because women are crazy like that. But no, I mean, we're still, like I said, we're still in each other's lives. So it's nice. It's nice to have that.
Yeah.
It's nice to have people from your past, obviously. I mean, I still am friends with all of the girls that I grew up with. There's 12 of us. And
oh,
I'm
really?
Still friends with all of them. I see them Jeez. Every time I go back and we have dinner and, you know, go to their baby showers and weddings. And like I said,
How
my best
cool.
friend is, I'm godmother of her daughter now,
uh-huh.
which is like the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
My parents think that's crazy for her to ask me that. Really? You're the godmother? I'm just kidding. But no, I'm excited to be the godmother. So anyway, so we're all still friends and, you know, support each other and. It's nice to have that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Sam. Lance. How you doing, man?
Lance, how you doing? Are you listening to the show, too?
I am listening.
Hi,
wow.
Lance.
You know, do some homework. Hi, everybody. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you for watching. Listening.
Watching.
For watching. What the hell am I talking about?
I'm fascinated. You know, I heard my good friend Carrie Harrison was over here talking with some people, and I heard his show, and I just was intrigued by the whole idea of real free speech radio.
Uh-huh.
I've been a KPFK guy for a million years, put a tons of money over there. I just love it. I love free speech and free exchange. So anyway, I'm calling in because yesterday you guys were talking about Wizard of Oz and the fact that you had actually never seen it.
Right, right.
Okay, well, the Wizard of Oz is an amazing thing, and it's funny how each year we're actually allowed to see it because it's very subversive in its actual story. Does anybody know
really?
About that?
Really? No,
please enlighten us.
So there's like a message behind it?
It's a deep, deep message about the new kind of world, kind of a new world that it should be fair and equitable for everybody.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Dorothy represents the innocence of us, right?
Right.
And I'm just going to go real quick in the farm and back on the farm, regular folks, you know, regular right. mainstream America. She represents middle America. That's it. Kind of gray, kind of boring. Didn't you say you were from, like, Alabama or something?
Me?
Yeah.
Chicago, close. Yeah. Alabama, Chicago, well,
yeah.
same thing.
Right
well, I love Chicago. But somebody on the radio the other day was talking about being from, like, the East Coast, and there's a certain point where you have to, like, decide where I'm going to stay here and hunker down, or I'm going to go out, and, you know, to the big world. I think it was one of your guests. And they came out to L.A., and then they ended up at Reno,
right.
and things like that.
Uh-huh. Lance, okay. are you calling in the right show? I'm kidding. We probably
didn't
have
listen. Yeah,
we,
it's funny.
Yeah, we don't remember shit, man.
We probably did have a guest from Alabama that we don't even remember. So go ahead. Thank you for reminding us. Anyway.
All right. Okay, so we're among friends, right?
Right, we're among friends. Right.
And actually, you know, start, you know, a little, you know, Chicago is my new favorite town. I love
it's awesome.
That city. It's just the best city.
It's great. The weather sucks, but it's awesome.
The weather sucks, but it's the best city, isn't it? It just works so good. I get off a plane. I don't get on a car for, you know, 500 miles, honest to God. I was going out there. The Charles name is from Knoxville, Illinois, near Galesburg. Do you know where that is?
Galesburg? No.
Well, yeah, none of us do, Lance. You know, none of us do.
So that's the rest of us. That is Dorothy. Back to the Wizard of Oz. Uh-huh. That's Dorothy.
Okay.
We're all there trying to, ooh, I wish I could get out of here, rainbows, da-da-da. So anyway, she gets her wish, and she goes up to this thing called Oz, right? And there she meets, like, the Munchkins, which are, like, the regular folks, the little people, all the people who do the stuff we need, the Starbucks guy, the grocery bagger, you know, the people who you see every day, you know, you say five things, and those are the Munchkins.
Wow.
Are you with me?
Yes,
we're here.
We're listening.
We're
is
listening.
It cool?
Yeah.
Is it kind of cool?
It makes sense.
All right, so
yeah, it makes
tell
sense.
Tell me if I'm boring you, because it's really neat.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's
Frank
interesting.
Baum,
you know?
Frank Baum was a high-level teacher, and he was trying to find a way to explain what we needed to do in our country, even back then. You know, we're in exactly the same time, actually, during deep, deep depression, that Frank Baum wrote, you know, that story.
I see. So it was written like in the 30s.
Yeah,
it was written like in the 30s. I may be wrong about that.
You're right, because Wizard of Oz it was up for an Academy Award, too, back in the day.
Mm. Yeah, you see, this is the thing. This is Hollywood's way of showing us, too, kind of a path. This is, you know that movie WALL-E, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, WALL-E is it's a message from Steve Jobs, you know, as to what might happen and what could happen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So these are the same types of things with Frank Baum. And this was an amazing thing.
Okay, but isn't it true, really quickly, that somebody hung himself on the set and it's in the movie? Did you see that?
There's a possibility. Yeah, there's a mention of that. Okay, in that there was a Munchkin who hung himself on the set. Yeah.
In the background, you can see it.
Yes.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with anything except Hollywood hoo-ha, but that's cool. Because we love Hollywood hoo-ha. I mean, I'm a Hollywood, you know, big fan. I'm a Jersey guy.
Yeah.
Hey,
so,
Lance, my dad said it was 1939. So,
yeah.
What
so,
now?
My dad said Wizard of Oz was 1939.
Well, okay, so that's still
1939. Oh, cool, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
Dad.
Your dad knows.
Yeah.
My pops knows. He knows everything.
So anyway, the scarecrow is the farmer. The tin man is the guys that work in the machine shops.
Okay, that makes sense.
The factory. Okay. Right. And then the cowardly lion, though, this is really cool. The cowardly lion is like the rest of us. It's the progressive party. It actually represents the Progressive Party. We are this huge beast of a lion. We have all of this might behind us. Yet we have this flea
right.
on our shoulder, and we're afraid.
Yeah.
Like, what are we afraid of, you know?
Yeah.
We are the 90% always, anyway.
Everything. Yeah, we're always afraid. Everybody's afraid of something.
Everything.
Yeah. Lance, we've got only a few minutes left. Thank you so much for calling.
Well,
what
thank
a pleasant,
you so much.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For, I didn't mean
pleasant
dominate,
surprise.
But, you know, hey,
no.
Cool stuff. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye, Lance. Take care.
I love it. I felt like I was having a stone conversation.
Now, well, now great. Now we know about The Wizard of Oz.
Well, I...
Now I kind of want to watch it.
See... Look at that. Thank you, Lance, for calling in to convince Sam to see Wizard of Oz. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is a great movie that you should see.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'll make it
a point. Oh, wait, isn't the soundtrack, if you link the soundtrack of Pink Floyd's Off the Wall, Dark Side of the Moon.
Wall. Oh, okay.
You link it to Wizard of Oz.
Uh-huh.
It
matches? Like,
yeah. I think that's
really?
I think that's what it is. Please, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Dad probably will.
That's interesting.
I think I did it years ago. Kids figured this out in college when they
right.
were like tripping on acid or whatever. But it does actually match up. I've tried it. And if you link Dark Side of the Moon mm-hmm. to Wizard of Oz. So go home and do that.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Just smoke
and I love
a bunch
the album,
of pot.
Too. I will.
And then trip out on it and just watch it. And you'll be like, this is the greatest movie ever. You're welcome for that gift. No, it's cool. I like hearing that story that Lance called in about.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting where movies come from and
that's
you know.
True. And there's a lot of books, I think, that have like hidden messages and something behind them.
Absolutely.
Know, especially way back then when people were writing and stuff. Today, it's more like surface and that. But,
right.
But nevertheless, I still love books a lot. And
we know you do.
Yeah.
You love to read. But in Wizard of Oz, though, I swear to God that there's this rumor that this guy on set hung himself during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this one shot when they're... in the forest when they're all together about to go, like they picked up the last part of their pack and they're going to the Emerald City. You can see this guy in the very, very back, right? And you see this guy walk up a ladder and then all of a sudden he steps off and then you see this thing, this person just going back and forth. Like he's hanging from a rope, just swinging. Now, whether or not that's true or not, you can see it.
Oh, yeah?
You can see
you
it. No, you can actually
that.
See it, but it's very, very small. It's all the way in the back. You really have to look closely, but I did see it.
So you think he did that like while they were filming?
I don't know. And
they
this
left
is
it
the story.
There?
I don't know. I love these fake whatever stories about maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe we'll have somebody call in that'll... tell us that's not true, that worked on the movie. But I don't know. I saw it. Somebody told me this years ago, and they showed it to me, and that's what I saw. It was crazy. See, now you really have to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like a conspiracy to me, but then again, coming from you, I'm not surprised.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? I didn't make the story up.
No, I know.
I'm just relaying the message. So if you're mad at me, guys, if I'm lying, don't get mad at me because I didn't say it. I'm just, I thought it was interesting, though.
Yeah.
I like believing that. Or that, what was that other thing? On Three Men and a Baby. Do you remember that movie with Tom Selleck and Ted Danson? Well, supposedly there's a shot in the very beginning when they're in their apartment and now they're like on the penthouse, right? So they're on the top floor of this building in New York. And so the camera pans around the apartment and you see this boy, this young boy like standing looking in the window. But yet supposedly like the story is that he's a ghost, that he's dead, that he died in this penthouse. And he's now back, and now like he's in this movie forever.
He appears
in the movie. And as a kid, I remember seeing this, and somebody told me that. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I thought it was so freaky. But I have to say, like, I don't know. You have to watch it too, because there is a boy standing in the window, staring into, and he's got like his hands like, I think up against the window, or he's just, I don't remember. But anyway, it's so creepy. And if that's the truth, that's pretty freaky.
Okay. Sounds good. And on that note, folks, we're going to wrap up. Stephanie, thank you
so
much.
Sam.
Thanks for our guest.
Thank you
for
guys.
Our caller. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.